previously on Unprofessional.
I tend to be incredibly shy. Yeah, that's a. I have a hard time with conversation often in person, which
Seriously? Really?
Yeah, I do.
How come?
I do. I don't know. How about you? You weren't particularly chatty.
I don't like you.
And now, the thrilling conclusion.
But why?
See, fair enough.
Great answer. Really great answer.
So quick.
Really? So how come you don't... You're doing a podcast where you chat with people you don't know.
Trying to get better at these things, guy. Trying to get better.
Life design.
Okay. Yep. Life design.
Is that like one of your... something that you consider failing, personally?
Maybe not a failing. It's just something I try to work through, I guess. It's definitely... I don't want it to be something that holds me back, I guess.
Of course. Yeah.
I consider it a failing. For me, I consider it a...
How were you as a kid? Did you make friends easily, or were you, like...
Did it change a little bit when you became more self-aware
of your social...
Like she's Skynet.
Yeah.
No. Well, okay.
I'm probably better now than I've ever been in my life, if that makes sense. Yeah.
About that or just in general?
About that specifically.
And in general.
Shyness. And in general. You're way better now than you were 2 years ago. I mean, hopefully we're always working toward improvement, I think. Not to get all serious and make
I met Jamie for 5 minutes 2 years ago. Let me tell you, listeners of Unprofessional, Jamie is night and day better than she was when I spoke to her a couple of years ago.
Way better, right?
Way better.
Not like her at all.
It's working.
She's leveled up like 8 times.
When was the last time you went bike riding?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'm very curious.
So I live kind of in this. I live in the city in Montreal. I don't have a bike. We do, however, have Bixies, which are known in New York as like city bikes. Other cities too have them. I think London has something. It's all the same company. It's a Quebec company that we.
Denver has it. Denver calls it B-Cycle.
Yeah.
They're the blue bicycles and.
They're these kind of like built up rough frames, right? It turns out it's a Quebec company that we funded with taxpayer money.
Oh, nice.
That has, I think, according to her, yeah. Well, according to a headline I saw, I think it's gone bankrupt by now, which is funny given that it's actually successful, but, you know, startups. And so the last time I went bankrupt,
I had to ride a bike.
I can't remember the last time I went bike riding, but it's been a while. But if it was on one of these Bixie bikes, because it's literally right on the corner of my house. Dave, have you been to my house?
No. Nope, I've never. I've also never slept next to you. Wait, is that true? No, I guess that's true.
I like that you had to think about it, though.
Well, I mean, conferences, drinking, these things are going to happen. It's not weird. It's not weird.
I didn't say it was weird. I just said that you had to think about it.
It's not weird.
It'd be weird, Dave.
That's a little weird.
Only the next day.
I've done the city bike style. I haven't done that here, but I've done it in Denver. But the last time I was really like bike riding in any significant way was when I was living in Amsterdam.
That's
just how I got everywhere until my bike got stolen.
You know, Amsterdam is Latin for city of bikes.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
It's a fact.
How long have you been in Montreal? Is that what you said?
Yeah. So,
how long have you been there?
The city of dreams.
Ooh.
I have no idea if that's what they call it.
I made that up. It's whatever they call where I am.
City of guys' dreams.
That joke has like 3 layers to it. I love it.
I moved here when I was like 7 or 8, kind of thing.
All right.
I grew up in Newcastle, England. Well, grew up. I had 7 years when I was living in Newcastle, England, and I moved here after spending a bunch of time in Sweden between the two.
This explains your thick British / Swedish accent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was not going to say that at all, but good observation.
I have.
It's pretty noticeable.
I've got a noticeable speech impediment. for lack of a better word, I do.
In what way is it impeded?
It's not impeded, but don't ask me to say R.
Don't speak pirate then.
Like the letter?
Yeah. Speaking pirate's horrible. It's not gonna work for me.
Are you saying the letter R, or is that another word you're trying to say that just sounds like R?
Doesn't matter. It's anything with that kind of sound is just not gonna work for me. Really? And that's not even necessarily a British thing, that's just a me thing based on I don't know. I'm the kind of guy that explodes a SodaStream bottle next to his desk.
Sorry, on a podcast.
So I have a particular, it's not even accent at this point. It's a mode of speech.
You do have a way of speaking.
I have a mode of speech or way of speaking that is uncommon and ultimately probably flawed if you were to ask a speech therapist, but I get by enough, so that's fine.
You know, the one big thing I remember from the last time you were on the show was you were talking about the way you would put pauses in your speech, and you were self-conscious
about that.
No, I think you've gotten way better at it.
Well, I do a lot more podcasts now.
Yeah, well, I think that's helped. Yeah. Like, sincerely, I think that's, like, there's a big difference there, and it's like, at the time, it was, not a big deal. I can edit around it. Like, I didn't care.
Oh, was it? But did now, you actually like, have I don't to edit that? I'm curious.
Not much. Just, like, a little bit here and there, because I tighten things up, but that's about it.
No, I really do. Like, I'll start a sentence and then think about it for a little bit before I finish it. And it's awful. But it's a sincere thing. It's rather like when a lot of people, and I do this, I do stutter, or I'll say or ah, or like I will buy time by making noise, but a lot of the time I will just buy time by just shutting my mouth. Man, I hope this gets cut because I got awkward and like people actually didn't take that seriously.
Well, you know what? Social awkwardnesses are things we all deal with, I think, right? I mean,
so why were you socially awkward? I don't understand that.
Well, how about you? Yeah, I mean, you don't seem socially awkward at all, but I would have never, maybe after a 5-minute conversation, I shouldn't pick up on these pauses that you're talking about, but
well, the pauses are that it's not so much a social awkwardness thing as that I am quite particular about what I say.
Which is actually just being aware, thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I really do, and it's probably a little bit pathological, but I'd like to stand behind what I say. And as soon as I say it, well, then it's every word I pick puts me in a cage.
You know, since you're talking about how deliberate you are with the words you choose, the things you say, suddenly all the mean stuff you were saying to me earlier really hurts.
Yeah, but I do that for fun. And you really can't order steak. You're just the worst.
And remember, don't forget at least that.
Dick,
don't forget,
I'm
Dave.
I
don't
love you.
You kidding me? I'm crying.
Don't forget, Dave, that he said early on that he only says mean things if he genuinely likes you, which means
that's true.
He's just trying to be nice to me right now.
This guy really likes me.
Yeah, I actually don't care for Jamie, even a little bit.
Yeah, see? I knew the truth. It's all right. I could see. Right. I could see this microphone.
We're not going anywhere.
So, socially awkward.
And then there was silence.
So what makes you socially awkward? What makes you think that you were socially awkward?
I think it's just shy. I mean, really more than anything else, shyness, you know. It's hard to talk to people first.
Okay, I know this is verboten, but, you know, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? Yeah, I know. I speak at conferences and talk about things. Yep, I know. It doesn't make sense. How do you get over that? You know what? It's a little bit easier because you're talking about things that you know and are passionate about. So, like, public speaking isn't a big deal, but trying to meet someone on a personal or, you know, sort of face-to-face level, I find it's a little challenging because what if I don't know what to say? Or I guess maybe it's a self-consciousness. Yeah, I don't know. I just find that it's a little uncomfortable, and it's easier if somebody will talk to me first, then I'm fine. But trying to be the first to strike a conversation is very difficult. Hmm. I don't know.
I commiserate with that because I almost never struck up a conversation with people.
Yeah.
I force literally myself
never.
To do it.
Yeah, I've never struck up a conversation that with a girl in order to go out with her. I just don't.
Really?
Never.
That surprised about you specifically. That surprises me.
Why?
Just because you get that like suave air about you.
You got the accent that works in your favor.
You get the you're a handsome man. You got a certain confidence about you, and ladies seem to like you.
Well, they talk to me first, but I don't.
So this wasn't a, I'm too shy to talk to girls. This was an arrogant.
It is. It's an honest. I'm not bemoaning my situation in life, but at the same time, I'm commiserating in that, like, I don't. Striking up a conversation out of the blue is anathema to me. Like, I have a very, very hard time doing it. I feel like I don't like myself when I'm doing it because I feel fake, and I you know, not to go all J.D. Salinger, but I feel like a phony. I feel like a phony on, like, when I'm just randomly striking up a conversation that has sort of no substance but has an ulterior motive, and I dislike myself, which makes me unlikable to other people, or at least I perceive that to be.
That's interesting.
It is interesting.
That part doesn't bother me. The phony thing doesn't bother me because I know that socially the way it works is you can just go up and start talking to people, and as long as
you have to do the dance,
you project a certain confidence, they're just going to go right along with you. In the same way that you can, when talking to a group of people, suddenly change the topic dramatically. But if you do it in a certain way, nobody's going to stop to think, well, weren't we just talking about this other thing? You can shift gears. It's all about how you present it.
No, that's totally true. That reminds me of the time when we were in San Francisco and the bartender called me up and he found your panties in the lost and found.
Mine?
Was that? Yes. Yes, yours.
All right. I mean, I wasn't sure who you were talking to.
Everybody knows that you wear panties, Dave. Come on.
Made it weird.
Yeah, so going up and talking to new people, especially girls.
Opposite gender?
No, the opposite sex.
I don't know. Or opposite attraction.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, for me, girls, the hard part is the convincing myself to do it. Once I go over and I start talking, I'm fine.
That's what you think.
What if it doesn't go well? Yeah.
I feel fine.
I think it's fine if the conversation moves, you know, if it doesn't feel like somebody introduces you and you're like, hi, and then that's it, right? So how is it going today? You know, I mean, it's one of those things.
Awkward conversations are the worst, no matter what.
Yeah. It doesn't even matter
about gender or anything. I think you notice it more when you're trying to meet somebody or you... If there's a romantic attraction, I think you do notice it more because the failure just really stings you.
Well, how about this, though? Like, by contrast, the specifically not attraction conversation. Mm-hmm. Because, like, ooh, maybe you just want to have a conversation with that guy over there or whatever, but you don't want to send the wrong signal, but you do want to have a good conversation, a nice conversation, get to know people. So, I mean, I would find that awkward and uncomfortable.
I can't tell you the amount of times that I've just tried to have a conversation with the guy, and I've, you know, cupped his crotch, and he's totally had taken the wrong message away from it. It's like, I'm sorry, you know, it looked cold. I thought you were cold. I was trying to, you know, warm you up a little bit.
This is exactly how we met.
That's not true.
It was the hand on the thigh. It was the hand on the thigh. Yeah.
Oh, really? Has that happened to you?
What? No, not to me.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Oh, because, you know, there is a, you know, not to get all, like, conference awkwardness thing here, but there is a, when you go up, especially at, like, work-ish related things, when you go up to talk to somebody of the opposite gender, there's a separate dance that has to happen. Like, you want to project a certain level of, I'm comfortable and okay talking to you, but also I am non-threatening. And there's... For a guy to approach a girl in these situations, or a man to approach a woman, what's the politically correct way of saying these things? If I were to, Jamie, meet you for the first time at a conference and I were to walk up and say hi, I have to be careful in how I do that because there's a bunch of stuff that comes along with that.
Yeah, I think interesting, though. But see...
But for you to come up and talk to me, there is a different set of things that go along with that. But there's also a set of things that go along with that.
See, and I think some of it's just perception, though, right? I mean,
sure,
you perceive that you might need to be more careful. However, in my mind, I'm probably not thinking that you need to be careful. Like, you know, you just have the conversation, you see where it goes, and that's that. But, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Jimmy, when we met in person, did I do that kiss you on both cheeks thing?
No, I don't believe you did.
Okay.
Next time.
No, I've done that before. I've done that to, it's what we do in Quebec, in Montreal. Like, it's not a thing. It's not like,
No, awkward. And I wouldn't take that.
Because I've done it to people. One cheek is one thing, but when you do both, it's like, well, what? Like, I've had that. It felt like it's gone over the line. I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything. It's just what I do. It's not a thing. It's a cultural, not even necessarily my culture, but it's a Quebec Francophone cultural
right thing. Well, you're foreign. You can get away with that.
Yeah. I've literally had to play that card, being like, I'm sorry, that's what we do.
Exactly. No.
Also, you know, we grab a lot of ass. You know, it's fine. Just go with it.
Me, my people, where I'm from, you know, men.
My people use all of the ass. God. People are going to hate me after this. But anyway.
You're going to be so hated.
It's very unprofessional. Very unprofessional.
You look good.
You're fine. Yeah, I think we're fine.
I'll cut it to make you look good.
Okay, so why don't you ask me questions rather? Like,
I want to stay on this okay. This isn't an interview show. We've never done interviews. At no point will we ever do an interview. It's always a conversation. Okay. I want to stay on the subject of the socially awkward thing, because I think, one, this was the one of the big subjects, running threads of the show we were doing before. me and Jamie were doing before, and I think that it's a really interesting topic, because at least for people like, I'm going to say me and Jamie just based on the conversations we've had in the past, I'm going to assume that you're probably in this category.
Sure.
Of people who were not born being social creatures the way that I think other people are born being social creatures.
Well, sure. I think you're expecting too much of other people. I agree with you in terms of the assessment of myself and you, and maybe Jimmy, if you've had those conversations.
I don't see other people interacting in a way that I don't know that I ever could.
Yeah, but I think maybe you're assuming too. You're like, well, I could never do that.
Well, no, I can. It's just that I have to force myself to do it, and I think for other people it comes naturally.
Does it?
I've had to train myself.
Yeah, maybe.
I assume otherwise nobody would do it.
Well,
I do believe that it is much more natural for some people. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like I know a lot of those people, but you know, and I think you know, there's all that stuff, introvert, extrovert stuff. And
sure.
And yeah. I don't know. It is interesting. I mean, some of us in our field of work, we find there are a lot of introverted folks and a lot of people who are like, yeah, it's everything I've got. You know, it's like everything I've got to go to a conference and I have to go back to my room and sort of recover. And I fall into that category. You know, it's just like I do love them. I love meeting new people and I love talking to people and learning about people. But it is, it's like all I can do energy wise. And then I do need to kind of go recover for, you know, it's like recharge your energy yeah. levels.
So you find that endemic yeah. or at least important for your design work?
Well, you know, I find that it's, yeah, talking to people about what they do and, you know.
Because design, just for your listeners, mm-hmm. A lot of research goes into that. Like, because mm-hmm. you can't just sit down and do something. You need to actually understand what the problem is.
Right.
And to do so, beings. You need to... I'm sorry?
And human beings. I right. mean, that's so much of the, you yeah, know, the yeah, angle you need that to I understand cover people is the human and, side.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you find that part difficult, or you find it...
It's
costly in terms of energy. Like, it tires yeah, you, maybe. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's challenging. And I think the challenging is really probably the right word. Mm. You know, it's an important thing. It's also something I do enjoy. Like, I do genuinely enjoy human beings and learning about them and meeting them.
Sure.
Like, it's fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, it's just something that, for whatever personality reason, I guess I do find it a challenge. So it's, yeah, I don't know.
To me, the analog is, either of you guys watch Community?
Yeah, of course. Not yeah. of course,
so,
but yes.
The yeah. the character Abed on the show, yeah. he's really into pop culture. He loves movies, he loves TV shows. And as a person, he has a hard time connecting emotionally. He's not like he doesn't see the world that way.
Sure.
And it's interesting to me that you can have, and I've met many, many people like this, so it's I assume a real thing, where you can empathize with characters as they're interacting with each other, but in your own life on a personal level, it's harder to empathize. And it's not that you're a sociopath, it's just that that level of thing only makes sense to you abstracted. And I think that I won't even say us, but for somebody like me, I kind of identify with that, where if not for teaching myself to understand people, or at least trying to teach myself to understand people on that level in real life, I would only be able to watch, you know, 16 Candles and cry for Molly Ringwald. Well, I have no idea why I picked that as an example.
Okay, Dick. Why do you feel alienated? What is that?
Not even alienated. It's that there's, I guess, alienated.
Well,
hang on, let me think about that for a second.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I don't necessarily know that I relate on that same level, Dave, and it's an interesting take.
No, yeah. I want to be clear, I would not go that far with it. I'm using an extreme example
right,
there. But
okay.
There is a level of social detachment. I can watch people.
That's a better way of putting it
TV.
Rather than alienated. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel just a little bit detached, where I can watch characters in a movie or a TV show and I can feel what I'm supposed to be feeling and feel what they're supposed to be feeling. But it's a little bit harder for me to walk into a room and be that level of comfortable with everybody around me. Because there's some part of my brain that's always dedicated to my experience.
But you're a far more gregarious person than I am.
That's all a show, sir. That's all
yeah,
a show.
I know. But at the same time...
yeah, I know.
Well, no, I mean, you know, whatever. We're like an hour in at this point.
It's
but,
a thing.
You know, Dave and I have pals and we've known each other for years.
So
and yeah, that is a bit of a show, right? So go ahead, Jamie.
And it's not like I'm faking it, but it is I have to actively try to make that work.
Sure.
It's not something that I can just that just happens.
Yeah, yeah,
I have to
right.
really work.
I wasn't
at
trying
it.
To call you a phony at the same time.
No, you weren't, I was.
Yeah, well, go ahead, Jamie.
That's it though, sort of, right? Is like there's a naturalness to interacting with human beings, right? I mean
yeah.
there should be. And there is or there isn't, and that's
we
maybe
hope.
The struggle a little bit.
I think it gets easier with age.
I agree, actually. Yeah. And, yeah.
I don't know how old you guys are. I'm 39 right now, so no, I'm an old man.
I'm 52.
I'm not as old as fucking Craig Hockenberry. Oh my god! Oh my god! Is that guy old? He's like 8 foot
wow.
eight, and as old as the trees. He is just old.
just attacking the guy out of nowhere. Are you calling him an ent?
Oh, he's wiser than the ants, man. This guy,
he's wise. He was very wise, and he was a lot of fun to talk to.
This Craig invented time itself. That's how old he is. There's no measuring. There's no measuring that guy. Huge, a giant.
Huge.
I do think it gets easier with age. Maybe it's. I don't know, and I don't know if it's experience or if it's, I don't care as much. I'm happier with myself that I don't really care if you think that I'm being an asshole.
There is a lot of that, and I do relate to that. It's like, yeah. You know... I'm going to be who I am, right. And it works or it doesn't work, right?
Right, and I'm not sure what that is. It's like a sauce. I don't know which ingredient is making it awesome, but there's a bunch of stuff in there. There's experience, there's age, there's an empathy that I've learned from interacting with everybody for years. I don't know what it is that makes it happen, but ultimately I'm just more confident and comfortable in public, you know what I mean? Or at least I've got you know what? I remember meeting you, but mm-hmm. I think I got off a plane and I showed up at the bar at Perk 55 and there was like 20 people around when I met you, Jamie.
Interesting. Yep.
And I was very much in the mode of like, it was a bit of a robot mode. Do you know what I mean?
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah, like I'm going to say hi to everybody. It's like, but I'm still like, I've been traveling for like 20 hours.
Yeah, that mode.
Yeah.
You do your responsibilities and...
Right, like this is like and believe me, as soon as I get to that, when I hit the hotel, I'm like, oh God, I'm here, finally, done. But it is very seldom that I get to... my room before I end up at the... This is going to sound bad. Rarely do I get to my room before I end up at the bar. That's... Should be a ring
at those events,
somebody.
I think that's actually fairly normal. Yeah, it's just because
the way... I mean, everybody knows... Well, at least we know where the desk is and the...
You walk into the building, like 20 people are already there. Yeah.
And so in those kind of situations, it's a very different thing than, you know, even this situation. No, well, we're actually having a conversation now, and yeah. I don't think we would have had the same conversation under those sort of conditions.
Very possibly. Very possibly.
And it also helps maybe that you're not doing that pause thing anymore.
Well, you know what I have to say to that, Dave?
What?
Fuck. You.
Hey, Jamie.
Dave.
I think that right now is a good time to stop, relax for a minute, and talk about this episode's sponsor.
I thought you were going to say stop, drop, and roll for a minute.
No, we're not on fire. But you know who is on fire? Audible.com with their amazing audiobook selection.
I love Audible.
I want to thank Audible for its support of Unprofessional. Audible, if you don't know, is the leading provider of downloadable audiobooks, and they have a very special offer exclusively for listeners coming up.
What's the deal? What's the offer?
So here's the thing. Audible offers 150,000 books covering virtually any genre. If you want to listen to a book, Audible has it. You can listen to audiobooks anytime, anywhere, including on your iPhone, your iPad, your Mac, your PC, your Kindle, etc., etc., etc. But here's the best part. Audible is offering Unprofessional listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day free trial.
Whoa.
If you go to audiblepodcast.com/unprofessional, you can take advantage of this special offer. By doing so, you not only get the chance to check out a great service, you support our show as well.
Which we like.
So my recommendation, because they like for us to give us a recommendation, I've talked about it recently on the show. I'm gonna throw it out there again. And I checked to make sure they have it, The Great Gatsby.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
If you've never read The Great Gatsby, people listening out there, I'm talking to you, Marco. You can get the audiobook version of The Great Gatsby for free.
That is super awesome.
free.
How do you beat free?
You don't beat free. You don't beat free. So it pays. It pays to be an unprofesh listener right now because you're going to get a free audiobook.
Jamie, what audiobook would you recommend to unprofessional listeners?
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Love the book. It's on there. You can find it on Audible because they have such a great selection. Even if you're not into that, you can find something else. But that would be my recommendation. Even if you've read it before, you know, it's always great to go back and listen to stories that you know. I'm a big fan of doing that. So, yeah, that would be my recommendation.
Well, there we go. Audible.com. Once again, get your free audiobook and kick off your free trial at audiblepodcast.com/unprofessional. And if you don't already, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/unprofesh. You know what? We so rarely give out our own usernames. I'm at dwiscus on Twitter.
I'm at Jamie, but it's got an unusual spelling. You should probably have to get it right once.
Well, people keep sending me messages or emailing us, and they say Jamie's great, but they spell Jamie, J-A-M-I-E.
Yeah, you know, I get it. I get that a lot. That's been the most of my life has been it's spelled wrong. So just for the record, I guess, it's J-A-I-M-E-E twice. So my name is Jamie, but my username is at Jamie, and you just have to get the spelling right. That's the only trick to it, and then you do it twice. So yeah, J-A-I-M-E-E, and that is me.
The biggest downside to your username is I always get that Weezer song stuck in my head.
Which one?
Jamie.
Oh, I don't know that one.
But it's with the original spelling.
Yep.
Original versus
the original.
Extra
the other
crispy. I don't know. The what you would assume the spelling would be.
Yeah, exactly. How most people spell it. I usually get either it's J-A-M-I-E or J-A-I-M-E with one, which I believe if it's J-A-I-M-E with one E, it's actually Jaime. I could be wrong on that, but.
Probably right.
I've heard that before. People always tell me that I have a boy's name and.
But yeah, you have the extra E.
I have the extra E that girlifies it immediately.
Right. So those people can suck it.
That's it.
Anyway,
my mom knew what she was doing.
Audiblepodcast.com/unprofessional. That's what we were talking about. We should get back to the show with a very special guest.
Oh my gosh. A guest. It's like Inception. It's right. Show Inception.
We've got a guest on top of our, well, not literally on top of the previous guest. Anyway,
you don't know.
Anyway, it's Marco.
Nice. Marco, welcome back.
Marco. Oh my God. Oh my God. This is the best guest appearance ever.
Is this a cameo? Does it qualify?
Yeah.
This is a cameo.
Oh my God, man. Do you know what's funny? I was just complaining about hearing your voice nonstop all week.
Why would that possibly be bad, guy? Here, why? I'll just invade right here.
I feel like Tiff at this point.
She's here. You want her to say hi too?
Hi, Tiff. I've never met Tiff, but hello.
Whenever I go to Canada, she's like, "Who the hell are you talking to?"
Tiff, you got to come next time.
Yeah, well, you know, bringing the whole family is a thing.
Well, if you can do it, do it. Yeah.
We were talking about being socially awkward.
You want to talk about the show or what?
Yeah, I'm very, very good at being socially awkward. If you need any help with that, I'm happy to add to this.
Just invite him to the beach.
Yeah. I love you were Jamie, you were such a traitor. You were so if I remember correctly, you were totally with me. I was saying how I hated everything about the ocean. And then I hear earlier this evening, mm-hmm. I'm driving in my car listening to your episode with Chockenberry, and he's talking about how it's great to, you know, do all, because he basically lives in the ocean. And you're like, oh, that's great. I love all that stuff. And you were, come on.
No. I said I wouldn't mind trying scuba diving. I'm actually terrified of the water. But
you know, the scuba diving takes place in the water.
Yep. But no. I'm not a big fan of the beach. Like, I like going to look at it, but I don't spend time there, if that makes any sort of sense. I was actually at a beach today for a moment with shoes and a hat and, you know, all the things that are required.
So wait, I've liked you better than, you know, Dick Whiskers. Have you been lying to my friend Marco?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of.
So what do you have in mind for your scuba adventure? Is it
I don't think I'm really gonna do it. That's what
would
I
you
think.
Basically, like jump out of a plane into the water because that way you can avoid the beach.
Yes,
but only be in it for about 3 or 4 minutes because you don't want to be there very long.
I gotta say, the plane jumping was
helicopter. I needed the helicopter out. Yes,
that because obviously you can't swim back onto the beach. Sand. To get out.
I don't like the. I'm not crazy about the sand.
Gets everywhere.
It does.
Oh God!
I feel like we've done this.
I'm so sorry if you feel like I've lied to you. That makes me very sad. Very sad.
That's the best apology. Well, not I'm so sorry that you feel that way. I'm so sorry that you feel I did something wrong.
Oh, Marco's right.
Marco's writing like a San Francisco startup. I'm sorry that we lost all your passwords. Email.
Yeah, that's the California apology right there.
We're sorry that you're upset about us losing your password.
Oops.
So, Marco, do you have your Mac Pro yet?
Support while we delete all of your data because we got acqui-hired. We're so happy. we're thrilled. We are so proud of everything we've done that we're deleting it.
Acqui-hired. That's when you get hired on the beach, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, for not a lot of money.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, really I actually want to be acqui-hired. Like you're just hired to go in the water.
Or you're hired to talk to fish.
Man, if I could get paid to listen to fish, I'd be so
Dave, insert 48 minutes of fish song right now.
Oh, with a PA. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, honestly, did not
I
get
didn't
that
either,
until you said
because we were just talking about the ocean and scuba diving.
Oh, right? My God. If you ever try to listen to Accidental Tech Podcast live, you can't miss fish.
Yeah, this is how I troll the world. So when we start our show,
you don't even like fish.
No, I love fish.
Oh, no, he loves it.
I just don't like the eating kind, but I like the music kind. So back during Build and Analyze days when I was doing that with Dan, we had this live stream and it was great. But I like as a completionist podcast listener, I was like, well, I wouldn't want to listen to a show live that I missed the first 5 or 10 minutes of. Because like I'll just wait till it comes out and hear the whole thing. And so I told Dan back in the day, let's have opening music, like an opening band. We'll have like opening music to play for like 15 minutes before the show goes live. So that way we can tweet saying we're live or we'll be live at this time. But you can then log in, connect to the live stream and be there when it actually starts, as opposed to missing the first 10 or 15 minutes of the show. And Dan never did it. And so what I had my own show. I'm like, all right, now I'm finally going to do my opening music thing. So the problem is, it's pretty hard to find a lot of music that you can play without risking some licensing issues.
I was going
to
ask you about that because you were playing shit that really should have been licensed the other day.
Yeah, well, yeah, I played like half of an MC Hammer song. I figured that that would probably not get me in too much trouble. But you know, well,
this is why you should have your own theme music.
We did, right?
They did.
Fish is extremely lenient. With
that Fish is the band to do it with, right?
Like they would probably never ever care, and if they ever did find some way to care, I'm sure the answer would just be to stop doing it rather than like
up on pot. It wouldn't even matter. So, yeah.
Right? They wouldn't like try to sue us for billions of dollars, like any other major label would. So it kind of solves the problem. So I have such a massive library of Fish music, and it's constantly getting added to whenever they play more concerts that
is music the right word?
Yes. Yeah.
That so it really works perfectly. And so it's my master troll to the world of, you know, I will start the live stream about a half hour ahead of time and I'll tell people the show will start in 30 minutes here. And as soon as I tweet that, people start connecting to it. And usually within about 5 minutes there's like 40 or 50 people listening. Usually by the time we start there's about, you know, 220, 230, and the peak that we usually get is like 280 for the whole show. So most of the people are connecting before the show starts. Most of them are going to hear at least a few minutes worth of Fish, and then no one misses the beginning. It works out great for everybody, including me, and because I'm trolling everybody.
It is good, and I got to say, I am one of those early adopters. The only time I ever hear Fish is when Marco throws it at me over the internet.
Right, I hit you with it.
Slaps you.
What's interesting, though, is
trap.
That you know a lot of people say they hate Fish, but have never actually really heard it or given it a chance. Right. Every time.
Oh no! See, I once really wanted to date a girl who was into Fish, and so I pretended to like Fish for a little while.
Well, like every time, every episode of my show where we started out, I'll get like two or three.
That is totally a psychosis that is all your own. That's your problem.
That is.
Sorry.
No, Mark, come on. Everybody has pretended to like something for somebody they like.
You know, we
I don't know if that's true.
We got a guest.
We have a guest.
You've never pretended to like a band that your husband
not even
or
a little bit. No.
Nope.
Not no? even. No. No.
I did a lot of stupid shit for girls in high school, but I'd never pretended to like music
you
I didn't
know what?
Like.
I swear to God.
That's over the line.
I'm glad you brought this up. For a while, and probably still today, I have an ethos, which is like, would I do this for a hot girl? And if the answer is yes, then I will probably try to do that for anybody.
Android for 6 months?
I would not do that for a hot girl. I do have a BlackBerry 10. I do have a BB 10.
I can think of a bunch of stuff that you would do for a hot girl that you wouldn't do for me.
Windows for 2 weeks as your main computer.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, if a girl demanded that of me, it would be ass. It's more like, you know,
this is how I'm going to trick you into making out with me.
But I go up the street and buy you something and then like, oh, you need a water. Okay, I'll go out of my way to get you a water at time. You know, I don't know.
Would you drink one of those Limerita things, those like canned margaritas that we have now? I think like Budweiser or one of the big companies.
What do you mean we, white man? I'm in Canada. We have like real drinks.
Well, yours are like, you know, 90% the size.
What? Oh.
Yes. You know what? For you, I would do anything.
Well, I would never ask you to do that. I would.
Right. Well, that's why I love you.
So for me, you listen to 30 Minutes of Fish every Wednesday night.
Exactly.
And you still claim you don't like fish, but you listen to it every Wednesday. So.
Do you know what? It's grown on me.
That's authority. You listen to it that much and still doesn't like it.
That's what happened.
I never disliked them. I just had no opinion. I find them a little I don't know why anybody can hate them.
Yeah. Well, because they don't take themselves that seriously. Like
it's not a harsh taste. It's not opinionated enough. And forgive me.
They fish is not up on stage like with like this arrogant attitude of we're so cool. Not at all. It's the complete opposite. They're like, we're goofing around and we're having fun and you guys are enjoying it too. Like that's
the sense I get. Yeah. And I also don't get the sense that they show up and they're like, hey, we're incredible artists. I get the sense that they're just having fun.
Yeah, and they are really good musicians. They're not particularly good singers and they don't really pretend to be.
Right.
But they're really good musicians. And like I think what shows the respect they have for the fans, they start on time. Every one of their concerts, they start on time.
Really?
Because usually they want to play for so long that they start hitting the limits of when the venue has to kick them out. So for like noise regulations and stuff, like they can't play past a certain time. They want to cram as much music as they can into each night. So they always start on time. There's never an opening band. They start exactly when they say they're going to start.
That's awesome.
They always, they're playing all the time and they like to go long.
Well,
I'm starting to see why you like them.
No, for a stoner band, that is word quote unquote air quotes your favorite stoner band, that is remarkable. I didn't know that.
It's impressive.
Well, the band members themselves are not usually on much. In the old days they were, but in recent years they cleaned up and so now they're pretty
like
much
88
sober.
Now, right?
I think they're all in their like late 40s, early 50s, maybe. But anyway, yes. But yeah, like the fans, of course, are not sober at all. But but the band is on it.
Hmm.
See, I'm converting all of you.
I'm actually tattooing myself right now.
Yeah,
with the fish logo. You know, like
my local bar. The owner is really into fish, and so whenever there's a live streamed fish show, he sets up the projector and will stream. He'll play the live streaming fish show in the bar, and that's what you have to hear. And I was in there one night, and it was when Fish was playing here. So the owner was gone; he was at the show, and I'm sitting next to these hardcore Fish fan people. What do you call them? Fish heads?
I don't know. I don't go to the
fish,
show.
Fish somethings. Probably something like that.
Look, I don't like most of the fans either. It's not like I'm not going to complain about your judgment on that.
Well, the I'm not even judging the fan. It was I just kind of casually mentioned like I don't understand the appeal of fish, and the guy tries to explain it to me, and his opening line was, "Well, fish is like baseball." I'm like, dude, you could not have lost me any faster if you tried. There's nothing you could have said that would have turned me off to fish more than what you just did.
You guys, I have to interject here because I have to take off. I hate to leave on this note, but I do.
We just started the show.
I know.
I just took over your show.
Yeah, I think so. I think
you
Guy
know what,
just
Marco,
took over.
Let's actually take over the show. Jimmy, everything good is leaving with you.
You guys, you know what? I had a lot of fun. It was great getting to talk to you. And Marco, I'm sorry.
Someday I'll forgive you.
One day we'll meet in person. Yeah, an ocean trader. I'm still with you on the sand and the sunscreen. I really am. All of that stuff. It's not enjoyable.
But you want to go scuba diving?
No, I wouldn't mind trying it. I don't know. I know. Here we go.
That doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't.
It's not something that it's like high on my list of to-dos for sure. But I'm fascinated by it. But, you know, cars a lot.
Show business, you know?
Show business. You say things you don't mean all the time. No. Oh. Anyway, I do have to go. If I could hug you all right now, I would.
Jamie, we love you.
Yeah.
Love you. Have a great night, guys.
Kiss on two cheeks, awkwardly, so.
Awkward public kisses. Yeah. All right. See you guys. Bye.
Bye, Jamie. Wait, when did Marco get here?
And now, the conclusion. And now, the thrilling conclusion of this episode of Unprofessional. And now, the thrilling conclusion of Guy English on Unprofessional. And now, the thrilling conclusion of the Guy English episode of Unprofessional. And now, the thrilling conclusion of Unprofessional. I'm Jamie Newberry.